If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Greetings and welcome to The Seekers with Dr. Violet T. Adams. I am glad that you are here to join me today. Today's lesson is Parenthood, Guiding Arrows, Proverbs 22, verses 4 through 6, 23, verses 12 through 14, and 20, verses 6 through 7. But before we get started, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our Father, thank you for bringing us to this place of learning and worship today, Lord. Lord, thank you for today's lesson on parenthood, Lord. Lord, given to us from the words of your son Solomon's mouth, Lord. Lord, I pray that you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of today's word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Thank you for joining me. Go ahead and get your Bible and open the scripture. And we're going to begin with reading of God's scripture. Proverbs 22, verses 4 through 6. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. In the path of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will turn from it. Proverbs 23, verses 12 through 14. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the word of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. Proverbs 20, verses 6 through 7. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Amen, amen. I have a question for you today. How can we guide as parents with both wisdom and grace, reflecting God's love? But first, let's define God. In secular terms, to guide means to direct, to show the way, to lead someone from one point to another. But in Christian terms, to guide means to shepherd with God's wisdom, prayer, and love, pointing children toward Christ, modeling and integrity, and trusting the Holy Spirit to shape their path. The point of today's lesson is parenthood is not about control, but about guiding children toward wisdom, integrity, and trust in God. As parents, guardians, or mentors, we are not called to control outcomes or manufacture perfection. Y'all, we can't create perfected children. There's no perfect person on earth, not one, not even yourself. Instead, we're called to train children with patience, discipline, and with love. We're to model integrity so our children can see God's truth lived out in us. Like arrows in the quiver, children are meant to be aimed and released to the world with purpose, not held back because of our fear. So I have 3 points for today's lesson. 1, train and teach with patience. Proverbs 22 verses 4 through 6. Training children is a lifelong investment. Humility, time, and consistency shapes their future. 2, discipline with love. Proverbs 23 verses 12 through 14. Correction done with love is protection. It gives hope and keeps children on the right path. And 3, model integrity. Proverbs 20 verses 6 through 7. Children inherit not just our words, but our ways. Integrity is the greatest legacy we can leave behind. So as I unpack today's lesson, I want you to ask yourself this question. How can I parent with both wisdom and grace, reflecting God's love? Today's lesson comes from V.T. Adams Speaks. Now, let's start the lesson. Point 1 is teach and train with patience. Proverbs 22 verses 4 through 6. Here, Solomon wrote Proverbs as a guidance to his son and the other youth in Israel. In context, this verse reminds parents that starting children early in God's way builds a foundation that lasts. Training requires patience and time and consistency. Our role is not to control or put them in front of technology because we don't have time to train them, but steady guidance toward wisdom and trust in God. Now, let's dive into the scripture. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Here, Solomon is teaching that true wisdom begins with humility and reverence for God. For parents, this means that we ourselves must model humility so our children can see that real life and blessings only come from God above. Verse 5 says, in the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far away from them. Solomon warns that wicked choices always leads to traps, y'all. That's why they call it the trap house. The message for parents is that part of our role is to steer our children away from harmful influences and help them recognize the snares of sin, not normalize it, not accept it, not say, oh, but, and the reason why, but excuse me, excuse him, don't do that. No, we are to guide and to recognize and direct them away from the sins. Now, of course, we can't totally whitewash their world, but us putting it directly in their face is definitely our choice. Now, let's look at verse 6. Start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Y'all know the scripture. Even if you're not Christian, you have heard this. That's how important this scripture is. This is a call to begin early. Training children in God's way plants seeds of faith that remains throughout life. Our consistency and patience gives them a spiritual compass that can guide them into adulthood. As parents, we cannot rush the growth process. You know that. Training children in God's way requires daily patience, time to teach values, model humility, and be consistent even when the results aren't immediate. It means creating small rhythms of at home of prayer, scripture, and honest conversations that build a foundation for life. And one more point. Children also learn more by watching than listening. What are they watching in you? What are you watching on television? What music are you listening and singing to? Those 2-year-olds even know the words. How do you talk to people and when you're upset? How do you handle trials and tribulations? Do you fall down on your face or do you turn your face to God? Do you cuss people out or do you pray? How do you deal with problems? Do you submit to anxiety and depression and woe is me? If your child acted the way you do, how would you feel? Guess what, parents? They're watching and listening, and they will act the way you do. Don't get mad at them when they show you through them. Parenting can feel overwhelming, especially when children resist correction or drift off course. Then they will. Remember, it's not about perfection or you, but about God's direction. When we release the pressure to control every outcome, we reduce stress and anxiety, not only in ourselves, but in our children. Y'all stressing those babies out. And remember the scripture. Your responsibility is to start them off, to train them, and then to let them go. If you teach with humility and by example, if you guide them through problems with grace, if you set God's value in them, then you won't have to worry when they are beyond your reach. You won't feel the urge to control your children when you have already guided them toward God. When my daughter graduated from high school and wanted to go to college, she didn't go to college in Georgia where I can get and snatch her up when she didn't do what she was supposed to do, when I can pop in on her to catch her in action. No, she moved to Texas. Oh my God, that broke my heart. I just couldn't believe that my child wasn't near me so I can help her, so I can pick her up when she falls. I wanted to scream, but the Holy Spirit reminded me of something, and I dropped down on my knees. And when I dropped down on my knees, I decided to pray instead of scream. I prayed over my child, and I surrendered her to God. And I asked God to reach her where I can't reach her, because I know his arms are longer than mine, to pick her up when she falls, to be that voice there when she can't hear my voice. And I surrendered her to him, and that gave me peace. And I stopped stressing her out about her move. Y'all, we surrender our babies when they're young and blessing them to God in church and in ceremony. But do we really mean it? Do we truly surrender our children's lives over to God? Or do we worry? Do we try to control them? Do we try to control the environment around them to keep them from learning and growing? Are we setting the example that they're to see rather than worrying about it? Surrender to God means your surrender, because he has given that child to you to teach and to train with patience. Amen. And that leads us to point two, discipline with love. Proverbs 23, verses 12 through 14. Proverbs was written primarily for this purpose, to talk about the importance of discipline, not as punishment for punishment's sake, but as loving correction that protects and saves. Now let's dig into the scripture. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. See, we see here that Solomon reminds his audience, youth, that wisdom requires a teachable spirit. The message for parents is that discipline begins with your own openness for God's instruction before we can even expect children to follow what we say. Now, verse 13 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they won't die. In this context, the rod was a symbol of correction and authority, not abuse. Solomon is emphasizing here that discipline, though uncomfortable at the moment, is not harmful when given in love. It's a tool of guidance. The message for parents is that correction should never be cruel, but firm enough to steer a child back to safety. Remember, a shepherd you...
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
It's a long ride with a big hook on the end. What was the purpose of that ride? When one little sheep would drift off as they did, curious, disobedient, wanting something more than what they have, they would drift off. And although the shepherd couldn't reach him with his arms, he used this long rod with a hook on the end to grab that sheep and to pull them back into the fold, to pull them back into safety. See, that's what your rod is for. Your rod is to reach them when they go out, when they're not doing what they're supposed to do, when they're not listening to your instruction, when they're doing something that's going to hurt them in the long run. When you don't use that rod, you continue allowing them to go in the direction that they're not supposed to go into, yelling them to come back, screaming at them and cursing at them. Don't turn them back around. The rod will. And of course, the rod doesn't have to be physical. You can find emotional ways to guide your child with love. Verse 14 says, "Punish them with the rod and save them from death." Solomon warns that lack of discipline leads to destruction. The message is that loving correction can literally save your child's life, protecting them from choices that lead to ruin. As parents, discipline is one of the hardest parts of our calling. Many of us withhold discipline because we fear a child's response, thinking appeasement and excusing bad behavior is showing love. But it's actually the opposite. We all love our children and don't want to see them hurt, jailed, or even lost. Yet, when we don't correct early, those are often the consequences. No one loves correction, not even us adults, but correcting a child at the beginning of bad habits and choices is a dedicated love. It is a love that helps prevent self-destruction. Many parents struggle with guilt, anger, or fear when it comes to discipline, but discipline anchored in love brings peace instead of shame for both the parent and the child. Remember, your role is not to break your child's spirit, but to shape their character. When discipline is consistent and paired with encouragement, it strengthens trust and emotional security. Children actually feel safer when they know their boundaries. As teachers, we have boundaries in our classrooms. We have to set them. And we know what children are not disciplined at home. We know what children don't have boundaries at home because they don't honor those boundaries in class. And sometimes they may even come out of a home with stress and even harsh punishment. The classroom may provide a place of freedom when they've had too much stress at home. Now, in the classroom, if we don't set boundaries, kids will talk through lessons. They will not listen to authority and follow instructions. This leads for an environment in which other children can't learn and they won't learn. You know, when a child has boundary and discipline problems, when they're often fighting, that might be your child. Why are they angry? And often they may say they're fighting because they're protecting themselves. But have your child had to protect themselves once a month, once a week, 3-4 times this year already? And if they've got to do that, is it really protection that you're telling them to do? Oh, go and protect yourself. Maybe it's their lack of discipline that's getting them in those positions, their lack of boundaries, their lack of respecting other people. Instead of telling your children to go and hit back, tell your children to solve problems without anger. Tell your children to respect other people's boundaries. Tell your children to watch what they say to people, because that might lead to their problems. Look into your child instead of saying it's other people's fault, because you are sparing the rod. Amen. Amen. So the takeaway of point 2, discipline with love, Proverbs 23 verses 12 to 14 is, correction is done with love. That is protection. When discipline is rooted in care, we know that we are showing love, and we are building a future of protection and safety. We're literally saving their lives. Now let's move on to the final point. Point 3 is model integrity. Proverbs 20 verses 6 through 7. Solomon continues his wisdom teachings by highlighting the importance of your character. See, we have to have the character of God in order to teach the character of God. We're reminded that faithfulness and righteousness do not just bless an individual, but it also blesses generations to follow. Many of us have behavioral generational history, and we're taught certain things that were taught by our parents, and our parents taught us those same things. So in a way, we live what we've learned. But today is your day to break that generational curse. Today is the day to learn how to live God's way, not the street's way, not your generational way. So now let's dig into the scripture. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? In Solomon's day, just like now, people often made promises that they could not keep. Faithfulness and integrity were rare. The message for parents is that love isn't proven by words alone. It's shown in consistent action. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the righteous leads blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Solomon is teaching that children inherit not just their parents' name, but also their example. The message here is powerful. When parents live with integrity before God, their children reap the blessings of that legacy. Newsflash, parents. Children watch more than they listen. They will copy how you act under stress, how you treat others, how you respond when life doesn't go your way. You may tell them what's right, but what you model is what they will follow. Integrity in daily life is an inheritance we leave behind. It's an inheritance that's stronger than money or possessions. Are you walking around cursing people out when you don't like what they say? You're teaching your kids to do that. Are you falling flat on your face in despair when problems occur? Or are you falling on your knees in prayer? Are you blessing people with words or cursing people with words? Are you running from problems and blaming others for those problems? Are you running to God with those problems? Children thrive in stable environments where words and actions line up. When parents live with integrity, it creates trust and emotional safety in your children. But when children see hypocrisy, parents saying one thing and doing another, it causes confusion, insecurity, and even resentment toward you. You know, that came out in you toward your parents as adults. Modeling integrity not only blesses children spiritually, but it also supports their emotional well-being and their sense of security, parents. Now, the takeaway of point three, model integrity, Proverbs 20, verses 6 through 7. Children inherit not just our words, but our ways. Integrity is the greatest legacy we can leave behind, blessing our children long after our words and things are forgotten. Now, let's live it. I hope I've helped you answer your question. How can I parent with both wisdom and grace, reflecting God's love? Today's lesson taught us that we should teach and train with patience. Parenting is about laying a foundation early through humility and grace and consistent guidance. Did we do discipline with love? Loving correction is protection, y'all. It shapes the character of our children and prevents them from destruction. And do we model with integrity? Children inherit not just our words, but our ways. Integrity leaves a lasting legacy of blessings. So I have three practical actions to live out Proverbs 22 verses 4 through 6, 23 verses 12 through 14, and 20 verses 6 through 7. 1, model God's values daily. Let your humility, patience, and integrity be visible and how you live your life in front of your children. 2, correct with love, not fear. Set firm and compassionate boundaries that guide your children towards safety and wisdom, not only in your house, but it will guide them in the streets, in the community, in the classroom, and keep them away from death, danger, and jail. 3, plant seeds of faith early. Create daily rhythms, prayer, worship, service that points your children to God's path. If we commit to these three steps, we can release our children with confidence, knowing they are arrows aimed towards God's promise for them, not held back by our own fear. This is what I mean to live by wisdom's blueprint. Not just with words, but with a life that reflects God's spirit in our parenting. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, please give us the wisdom to train our children with patience, the guidance to leave the control to you and to fully submit our children to you. And Lord, teach us to recognize when we are not exhibiting integrity. Lord, help us with the integrity to show our kids how to live. Lord, wherever you see weakness in us in these areas, Lord, I pray today that you help us with this weakness, that you said, show us the example by sending your Holy Spirit to help us through this. Lord, I thank you for this word and I thank you for this lesson. All these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, when we live through this model, when we release our children to God, we will raise confident, God-fearing children. So join us for our next lesson. Lesson 2, self-development and care. Guard your heart. God's wisdom blueprint. Proverbs 4, verses 23 through 24. 3, verses 5 through 6. And Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. We'll explore how guarding your heart with wisdom protects your mind, strengthens your spirit, and keeps you rooted in God's peace. Thank you for joining me. Please share, like, and follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook. This is Dr. Violet T. Adams asking you to continue seeking God's wisdom. Thank you and see you next week.